You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for downloading the Sun Ranto Show. For early and ad-free access to the Sun Ranto Show, including a ton of great perks and our Discord server, please subscribe at patreon.com/sunranto for as little as $1 a month. There are free trial memberships available. patreon.com/sunranto. Don't make me tell you again.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby, Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable loser. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable losers. Sun Ranto.
Sun Ranto!
Oh, yeah, baby. That's the sound of a man who's watching the Cubs up 2-1 in the fourth inning in a spring training game in Goodyear, Arizona against the Cincinnati Reds, isn't it?
Nothing like ballpark at the blimp.
The Cincinnati Reds Goodyear Ballpark, home of the baseball tampon. If you don't know what I'm talking about, they have a statue out front that's supposed to be an oblong baseball, but it just looks like a giant tampon. It's very hilarious.
It really does. It's weird. And when I went there, Danny and I took in a game there way back in the day. And you're stuck in traffic just looking at it going, what is this thing?
So, well, welcome to the Sun Ranto Show. My name's Danny Rock, and I'm standing weirdly because I want to show you my awesome new In the Clutch shirt, which is the Browns twirling hand, three-finger Brown. I don't think he even had a shirt when he played. Did they even make T-shirts back then? I don't think they even wore them except for under. And they all wore suits to the ballpark with.
Right, they had white undershirts with yellow armpits.
And anyway, I'm wearing my new Browns twirling hand shirt. And tonight we're giving away an In the Clutch T-shirt to one of our Patreon supporters.
Well, Danny, I got mine today as well, but I'm not wearing it right now because I want to have like a full day in it. But I also got this.
Nice. The Take a Chance shirt, which is a reminder, by the way, to everybody in the chat to hashtag chance, and you can win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom now in shirt form.
Yeah. And, so that and I can't wear that one because that's for my son. His birthday's coming up next month. His middle name is Chance. I got that for him. And if I tried to put that on, it would be like, you know, you'd probably be able to see through it like the baseball pants.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. This is a family show. And I did just drop the link in the chat to the Browns twirling hand tee, code SUNRANTO, if you'd like to buy one and get 10% off. And IFG, you're here in your Project Runway. I call it the Little Red Riding Cub.
Yeah, I took the 5X jersey that was donated to us by Rogue Wave Creative. And it's my lovely little Christopher Morel Cubs fleece lined outerwear jersey. So when I go and see the Cubs here in Seattle in mid-April, when it will be rainy and cold, I don't have to hide my jersey underneath my raincoat.
Nice. That's great. Awesome. We're going to talk a little bit more about Project Runway later. This hat is also a Project Runway creation, but we are having a contest.
I think you mean Project Warning Track.
Yeah. Sorry. Project. I'm thinking of my other job where I'm a
Our apologies to Heidi Klum.
Anyway, I do want to mention that this show is brought to you by our 107 Patreon supporters. Thank you so much for supporting us. It's why this show happens. It's why we're throwing Ranter Fest later this year, which is going to be a big celebration of all of us. Also, I'd like to thank the Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fans First Network. They're the people that release our podcast. Give us a 5-star review over there and a review. We are giving away a Patreon prize tonight, so if you want to get in on it, you could win not only a In the Clutch t-shirt, but also a Matt Kammerer piece of art. It's the Ron Santo permanent paintings print that over the map from Matt Kammerer. That will be giving away one of those later on tonight. And also I'd like to shout out our very special super-duper ranchers who support us on Patreon at the highest level, which is Blake Beard, Rogue Wave Creative, Mike Waller, and the Cubs PS Plus podcast. He had a great show this week on how they're going to figure out the Cubs bench. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, too. And, hey, what's everybody drinking out there? That looks delicious, IFG. What the hell is that? That looks like dessert.
So this is from Imprint Beer Company in Hatfield, Pennsylvania.
I lived in Hatfield.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, I did. In a house that was soon to be destroyed after I left. I'll tell you. Either way, keep going with the beer. They make
No, so this is from Imprint Beer in Hatfield. This is called No Remedy for Vanilla. It's an English-style porter with vanilla beans, and it's a nitro. So, yeah, that's why the upside-down
port. Oh, nice.
It's a big head.
I think I used the wrong cup, but
I think you used a perfect one.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah, I think you used a perfect one. That looks great.
Well, Michael, you still not drinking, or you got an NA?
Oh no! It's I'm back on the sauce, Danny. It's
God damn it.
We are only a week away from St. Patrick's Day. I gotta liven up the liver, get it going. But no, I've got an Alaskan Grizz coffee brown.
Ooh.
My light just ruins that, but it's got a big grizzly bear face on it. It's pretty cool, but it's a, so it's a brown ale, but it's coffee brown. So it's got a little like sweet coffee tang to it versus some of the like really dry bitter browns.
And now, how's that nitro tasting? Did you get past the foam at all? Or it seems like you're just sipping foam. Did you get it to the beer yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. The shape of the glass lets you get past it. It's delicious. Oh, nice. It's so sweet. A little bit syrupier. You can pour it over ice cream. It's so good.
Well, tell us what you're drinking out there in the chat here. Jeff Berta's got an Arnold Palmer tonight. Very nice. Is that alcoholic or is that just tea?
It's ice. It's half and half iced tea and lemonade.
Okay, yep. And I suppose you could put booze in it too. We got Mountain Dew Code Red from Artie Boucher, Mr. Fourth Row out there. And we have Everett Tosher just drinking coffee. But it looks like he's drinking a martini and coffee. I am drinking I'm back on my own sauce. I got the mate tea, so I'll be up all night. You know, it's nice. Need the extra caffeine. It's, you know, it's an exciting game here in spring training. You know, it's 2-1. Oh, over. Don't worry. We'll keep you abreast of the goings on, you know, for the battle of the Cactus League. It's very exciting. David Elliott with an old fashioned. Nice. What's in an old fashioned? That's bourbon?
Usually, yeah, and some kind of. What is it?
Like simple syrups and stuff.
Yes. I don't know.
Bernie Barron is drinking milk.
I know there's a cherry.
Who drinks milk anymore?
I mean, milk. No, I mean, I roll hard with my chocolate milk.
Just a glass of milk. I couldn't even tell you the last time I just drank a glass of milk.
Yeah, it's been a while, but IFG, I had some chocolate milk the other day, and I was just getting to the bottom of the thing, and there was not enough. There was too much for one glass, but not enough to save it. So I just dumped the whole thing in there, and it was like. thick. It was so good.
With that Hershey's chocolate syrup, it's like, there's 43 servings in here. Screw you. You don't know what you're talking about. So that's some good chocolate milk. So, all right, let's get into some Cubs talk. It is I want to say, though, that we're having Cubs desk jockey around in a little bit. We're going to do some Cubs trivia later. So that should be a hell of a lot of fun.
Nice.
Looking forward to it. We'll be taking answers in the chat here. But we have to I owe everybody an apology, you know, all winter long. I've been on this show saying Christopher Morel should be the third baseman of this team and that he just needs a time to develop. And I was completely incorrect. The man cannot field. He's absolutely terrible at third base. He doesn't know what he's doing over there.
Your ass is like, he has no idea what to do. He needs time. Danny sees him one game. He's like, it's over.
It is a shit show. I mean, the man. All right. First of all, here's the thing. He's a total head case. Because here's what happens. He gets the ball in his hand. And he's like, ah, what do I do? And he has no clue. He doesn't know if he's throwing home, if he's throwing second. His brain just goes blank. It's like he's got the yips. And then he chucks the ball. It reminds me of Sean Dunstan back in the day. And this ball goes where he's got the arm of death. He's going to kill somebody with that thing. That is a lethal weapon.
No, anyway, we have nets now.
I want to apologize to everybody. I know you guys totally agree with me, so we can just move on.
Yeah.
No. All right. I see IFG about to, like, basically kill me through the screen with her
It's
face.
The evil eye, FG.
A number one. It's spring training.
Well, what do you want to say? I should give him time to develop during spring and practice what he's doing? Yeah. No, I don't have time for this. It's 2-1. There's two men on in the game. What if Morel was in there just flubbing a play? We could lose a spring training game. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Heaven forfend.
Right. Okay. Well, I loved how everybody got.
Remember a little game once upon a time, a November game, a game on a lovely November evening. Was it a lovely November evening? It was a pretty shitty November evening, let's be honest. When who was probably going to be revered for centuries as one of the greatest Cubs third basemen of all time, we all collectively held our breath because we thought this guy was going to fuck up a throw. And then what happened?
There was a gold glove, platinum glove, first baseman over there to pull that shit down.
Oh, my God. Exactly. I totally want to see a video mashup of the Game 7 of the World Series and that little bouncer to Morel and then just, like, shoot over to Morel and then he just chucks the ball 9 feet over the first baseman's head. Because that's what we all thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And let's be honest. Christopher Morel right now has never in his entire, like, affiliated baseball career had a job that was his. So, I think he needs some time to build up some confidence, perhaps, that, you know, a slip-up isn't going to, I don't know, cost him his job and get him relegated to DHing twice a week. I think that, you know, he has played more third base than any other position in his baseball career overall. And, like, he knows what to do. But I think he does need the time to build up some confidence in his skills.
So, I'll do you one better there, IFG. It's not even that he needs time to get better.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he's fine now. And to back up these statements.
Were you not watching the game? Oh, my God, you're terrible.
Two of our, like, and you talked about KB, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's in love with KB, played third base. You know, and then there's also Aramis Ramirez. So we're not trying to get Christopher Morel to be Nolan Arenado for many reasons, mostly because Arenado's a dick. But he's just not, like, that dude is the best at his defensive position. Our guys, like, you don't have to be that good to make a huge impact. So KB was, let me find it here, errors committed as a third baseman in 2015. He was second in the league errors committed.
Well, that was the knock on him, that he wasn't a third baseman. He was too tall. He couldn't bend
2017, he was first in the league in errors committed as a third baseman. 2019, he was fourth in the league at errors committed as third baseman. And I will point you to those years as pretty freaking good years for Cubs, right? And then when you go and you look at Aramis Ramirez, you know, a very popular, going in the Cubs Wall of Fame this year, we all love Aramis Ramirez. And in 2003, he split time with Pittsburgh and with the Cubs. But that's when he first came to the Cubs. He was first in errors committed as a third baseman. In 05, he was fifth. In 08, he was fourth. In 11, he was fourth, right? These are errors committed as a third baseman. Oh, but here's an interesting thing. The assists in 2003 when he was first in errors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was also first in assists. That means he threw more guys out in that same year that he got all the errors than any other third baseman did. Because he just had all the opportunities. Look, and everybody wants to freak out and they say, oh, well, he can't do this. No, he can. And he's fine. You can commit errors. It happens. But you can also be a really good player. Or, as happened with Aramis Ramirez, 2003, first in errors, right? Well, then in 2004, his fielding percentage, he was fifth in the league. 2006 fielding percentage, he was first in the league. 07, second. 11, fourth. 2012, he was first again in the league. Like, these are fielding. So these are not like your advanced stats, your amazing things, but it does tell you something about what it's like to play over there. And there was an article I shared on the Discord. If you're on the Discord, and you can go out to Cubs.com and read it. And they're talking about Morel getting a chance to make mistakes over there.
Yeah.
And they're talking to Nico Horner. And Horner's like, it is so hard to try to play and learn when you're doing multiple things and you're trying to do different positions every day and you don't really know. And then he also said, this is our gold glove second baseman. Third base is way harder than second base.
Yep.
Nico Horner is also a very good shortstop, which is probably the hardest position. And he's like, third base is really hard. He's like, you've got to have a chance to play over there and get used to it.
Well, and the thing that Morel can do that, let's say Madrigal had the job last year. They gave it to him. And he had to take 53 steps to throw the ball. But the one play that Nick Madrigal can never make is that play deep in the hole because his arm will not throw that far. It just won't get there. Nope. So Morel, he can make that play.
He can throw a ball to Iowa.
Yeah. The dude can throw hard, and so he can throw that ball across the diamond from deep, like behind third base when he gets to those balls. I mean, there was a ball that handcuffed him a little bit the other day, and then there was just the throw that way he just airmailed. That reminds me of Sean Dunston. It really does. And it was the same kind of idea was that, and somebody was saying it in the chat too, which was, it was Corey. Morel is nervous when he gets the ball. The camera will show him and his see-through pants. So he gets so nervous over there. Because they're like, oh, my God, they can see my butt. And he panics and throws the ball far. But, no, I'm totally
you know what,
kidding.
Though? I've seen Christopher Morel with his shirt off. If there's anybody that doesn't need to be nervous, if you can see through his clothes, he's one of them.
You know, that's a point. I'm so glad you brought this up. Because, you know, I've been a Cubs fan a long time. And the Cubs have a pretty good, like, they have a good history of having very attractive third basemen. And like you brought up Aramis Ramirez, he was a very good looking man. We of course had Chris Bryant, and who is to say that Christopher Morel does not belong on our top corner?
I totally agree. And then you go back
in the cat, the cat whiskers actually makes him look cuter.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Not a lot of guys can pull off cat whiskers, but Morel can do it any day of the week. So a little bit more news.
Corey Furlong brings up Ron Say. Say. Yeah.
How about another Ron? Ron Santo.
Woo! Ron Santo.
Ron Santo.
Oh,
could you imagine Ron Santo trying to play third base? Everyone would be like, the guy's got no legs. How can they let this dude play? Like, they would be all over Ron Santo bitching about the fact that he's got no legs, and they'd never even give him a chance to play third.
He's out there with at least artificial ones. So true, Bernie.
So true.
So, speaking of, like, sexy guys, I don't know if you guys think Bellinger's sexy, but he played a game and he's back and he looked really good and he looked like he's just ready to go. And
I don't know if I think he's sexy, but I know he's better looking than me because my wife tells me that.
You know what? He's like the good looking guy that is hanging out with your older brother playing video games.
Oh yeah, he's the good looking stoner dude, right?
Like, exactly.
He comes around doing the video games. He's got no prospects, but for some reason, all the girls are like, "I'm gonna make a mistake tonight."
Yeah, you get it. It's a nice guy. But he looks really good. Nice to have him back and playing. And Saya looks really good this spring. I mean, I can put up some of the numbers. We could just kind of go through.
Saya the other day,
not look good.
Absolutely getting robbed over the wall, bringing back that home run. Oh, and then he just goes back out there and just hits it a little farther so that they can't steal it. Like, that was amazing.
Michael Bush hit one tonight too, a million tons. It was incredible. I put the stats up here. This is before today's game. Pete Crow Armstrong getting all the chances in the world. He's been in a little slump. He had an infield hit tonight that one should raise his average a little bit. We're going to talk about the bench in a little bit, how he might fit in. Matt Shaw getting all the looks at third base, 21 at bats so far. Owen Casey getting all the looks. He looks great. He's batting .500, although he might not be right now just because he got out a couple times tonight. But
Struck out his first two times at bat tonight. I was listening to the Reds broadcast, so they made sure I knew it.
David Bodie with three home runs already. Christopher Morel, who we were just talking about, batting .353 so far this spring, looking really good. So, I mean, if he makes an error every now and again and bats .353, I think we'll all be okay with it.
Oh, another point that Mike Waller made on his show. So if you haven't listened to Mike Waller's show this week, I believe Cubs it was this PS week. Plus. Cubs PS Plus. He made the point that Christopher Morel does not need to be Nolan Arenado over there. If he hits better to make up for any issues he has on defense, then he should be the third baseman. And I totally agree. Like, you just have to out-hit your performance on defense, and you should be able to be there. And guess what he does? He out-hits his performance anywhere on that field.
So, Mike Tauchman, who I do want to talk about a little bit, he's only got a few at-bats this spring. I don't know. I don't even know what to take from any of these numbers anyways. Why don't I want to make a big deal out of them?
Especially, like, tonight's lineup is all there was only one Chicago Cub in tonight's lineup, and that was Hayden Wesneski. Everyone else are all our Iowa Cubs or Tennessee Cubs or wherever they're from.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. A lot of kids are getting chances.
And I want to say, well, it's a road game. That happens a lot in the spring. B, Goodyear's not close, so they make the kids get on the bus and go over there. The players went and golfed and are already going to bed right now. But Mike Tauchman was promised a job on this team already.
On the 26 man roster.
Yeah, he was promised a job. When you pair that with the idea that they're definitely going to use a backup catcher, because that's what you do, only leaves you with a DH and two bench spots. And that, you know, we were thinking in terms of three bench spots. I think everybody's been thinking in terms of that. For Tauchman to just be given that job puts a lot of guys on the bubble. Pete Crow Armstrong being one, Canario being another one here. I'll put up the list again so you can just have them in front of your face. Miles Mastroboni, you know, from the left side with a lot of speed and base running abilities. Matt Mervis, is he going to get a bench spot? Michael Bush has pretty much been promised the opening day first baseman slot too, which is a little weird considering he's a rookie. But I mean, he's kind of proven it, I guess. At least he did tonight with a home run.
He's still a rookie, but he's had, I mean, he's had cups of coffee and just didn't get his chance because of the team he was on. I'm okay with that.
It's not like we have a full-time first baseman at all anyway. Like, if we do, his name is Patrick Wisdom.
Yeah. And I was really, and I'm just happy that we have a first baseman this year because we had zero first baseman most of the year last year. But I was really surprised when I read the story about Tauchman getting that 26th spot, just coming onto the, you know, he was the guy right at the start of spring training before they did anything. Craig Counsell was like, no, you're my guy. You're on this bench at least. And I was really kind of surprised by that. I don't hate it. I think Tauchman did a lot of good stuff last year. There's no reason to like say you're not on the team, but it just seemed interesting before they even got into the spring training that he was given that spot. But more power to him. I think that tells you that maybe PCA and Canario aren't really in the mix for whatever March 28th for that first game. You know what I mean?
What were you going to say, FG?
Oh, no, I was just saying I respect it. You know, like I respect the fact that that the manager wants to manage and like recognizes what Tauchman has already brought to the table and says, okay, well, we're just going to go ahead and ride with you now because like we know what you are and that there is enough value in that you deserve a seat at the table. So I'm fine with that. I have no problem with Tauchman already being in, even if he's not getting a whole lot of play in spring.
He's experienced. He had a great year last year. Exactly. He never was bad on really any team he was on. He was always a great fourth outfielder. If that's how they're going to use him off the bench, wouldn't you rather have somebody experienced off the bench and let those young guys go get at bat after at bat? And when they're hitting and when they've hit 10 home runs by the middle of May, then you bring them up and then they're already ready in the season. I'm just impatient. So when I see somebody like Canario or PCA, like PCA beat out a hit today, beat out an infield hit, and it wasn't even close. Like they didn't even, I didn't even know if they threw over because he's so fast. And then he stole second, which I really couldn't tell what happened because like Marquis, of course, missed it completely, but it's not totally their fault because they are on the road. So I don't know whose fault it was, but
You got a great reaction shot of whoever was in the booth, though, I'm sure.
I think more than Pete Crow-Armstrong and Canario, who you figure, you know, may or may not spend some time in Iowa before coming up. I think it really does tell you a little bit more about, like, what they envision for, say, David Peralta.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've been noticing, so you brought up Casey and Shaw earlier. Also, reading what's coming out on, and I'm just reading Cubs.com, nothing special, but Counsell told Shaw and Casey, you're not going to Chicago this year. Right off the top, he said, you're just not doing it.
Yeah, go grow
up. You're going to go out there and you're going to play and do whatever you can do, learn, listen, do all this stuff. And what I like about that in evaluating sort of what the manager is doing at this point in the season is it really does feel like he's bringing much more stability to each player day to day. You know what I mean? Like the whole team still has a little bit of flux and we're not 100% sure about what is going here or there, but where he can, he seems to be telling these guys, this is what we're going to do with you. He's being very upfront. You know, the young guys, you're going here, you're going there, you're not going to Chicago. And so they...
People who are competing know they're competing, and people know their place. And that gives people the ability to understand where they fit within the organization and work to the best of their ability to get to the, either whatever level that they expect of you. And it didn't, and that is, I mean, we're not there, but that's not how it seemed like it was ran under.
Right. And then you don't have these sort of infighting, like bad blood things where Shaw is going after Morell's spot. You know what I mean? And they're battling so they can't really work together, that type of thing.
Yeah. David Elliott in the chat, it is fascinating to have a manager who is setting clear expectations and laying out a plan. Totally agree. 100%. Well, do you know what I'd like to lay out right now? Because we're about to do some trivia with Colton in after the commercial break. But first, we need to do a little bit of who's that? Cubby!
All right.
This is a little game we play where we have the silhouette of a cub. And you got to guess who it is.
This one is a pitcher. Ooh. Look at this. Nice high leg. The gloves up near the head. Ah, looks good. So,
tell us in the chat who you think this is.
And we will tell you who it really is when we get back.
Yeah. By the way, it is 2-2, just to let everybody know where we are. 2-2 in the fifth. And Michael Arias is in there. Talk about the kids going in there. So he's a draft pick we have not seen much of at all. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll have Colton, the Cubs desk jockey, on here to tell us all, to give us some trivia questions. And here's a commercial for Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you should be. Patreon.com/Sunranto. It's how we keep the lights on. And you can hang out with us on Discord tonight. So subscribe. We'll be right back.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a super ranter today.
And wow. We are back to reveal who is that Cubby.
Cubby, yeah. It's a first on the show. We have no correct answers for this one.
And some people guess Eckersley, and it is Greg Maddux. I don't remember him putting his leg up so high. He looks young in that picture.
He is young in this picture. This is in the this is like an 88 picture, I think.
Yeah, people are saying too thin for Mitch Williams. Yeah. And no mullet. Yeah, there would be a mullet probably in the shadow there for if it was Mitch Williams. But interesting. Greg Maddux. So nobody got it. Too hard, Michael.
You know what, though? I will say pitchers are way harder than batters because you don't get the same sort of look at the pitchers. And when, you know, you take a picture of them mid-windup, you don't really see that in the, you know, but I will say when I've done a couple pitchers in the past and they have been really like the chat has been pretty good on picking up on that.
Yeah, we got the smartest fans of baseball. And
we absolutely do. And in fact, Bleacher Bum 23, I did want to point out, he said they wouldn't be on the opening day roster. He never said they wouldn't be in Shy this year. That is very true. You know, and I think that's where, you know, that's what we're saying. But it's just like the fact that they know where they're going to be at the end of this month.
They know where helps. They fit right now.
Yeah, they know where they fit.
IFG, you have the Ranter calendar.
I did. I just got it. And I realized that I hadn't opened it yet. So I figured I would take a look.
Yeah. And by the way, I'll just say it now. Today is Lisa Cram's birthday, as you can see on March the 7th. Today is her birthday. Her picture is right there on this very day, along with at CIN. So happy birthday. Happy birthday, well, Lisa.
Look at Sunday, guys.
Oh, yeah. Michael Cotton. Look
at that. That's right.
He's working on another one of those tonight.
48 years young, and I may look like that on Sunday. Just leaning my head on my wife's shoulder. trying to get through the day.
Corey Furlong in the chat says, I have the calendar on our credenza, and my wife said, get Crawley out of our living room.
Yeah, well, Crawley is the cover boy on this one, and his nipples are showing, so it is a little pornographic, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he deserved it. That was the picture of the year. Either that or that photobomb from that very night from the guy at the concession stand.
Oh, yeah,
remember, with it was the weird Eric. Yeah, he's like behind us, like making a dumb face. That was incredible. So I do want to mention that our show is brought to you by In the Clutch shirts. They've got the Take a Chance podcast shirt, which if you put hashtag chance in the chat right now, you could win a Frank Chance postcard. And I'm wearing my if you missed it earlier, my new Mordecai Brown's twirling hand shirt. I freaking love this shirt. So much. It fits great, by the way. The only thing is, like, I've been doing push-ups. Look at the guns, dude. Look at the guns right now. I mean, I don't even fit up here. So it's like a kind of a gunboat shirt.
Yeah.
So that's good for a guy like me with, like, giant muscles.
I tried mine on earlier, and I felt the same way. I felt like the muscles were, like, it shows off the muscles good. I think it's a little bit smaller than I thought an XL would be, but it's still like is roomy and everything. So
it's roomy in the right places. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's roomy in the right places.
It actually makes me look a little thinner, to be honest. It is a little bit of it skinnies me up a bit. So
it's because everybody's focused on the shocker sitting right on your chest versus your love handles. You just got to draw the attention up here to the chest.
I've been doing that for centuries. So,
I'm cheering. We finally
figured it out in the year of our Lord 2024.
I'm cheering another link in the chat for our other sponsor, our other main sponsor, who's Matt Cameron and Permanent Paintings. His Etsy shop is incredible. You can see his art all over our own walls. But some Patreon supporter tonight is going to win this Ron Santo as well. So that's exciting.
Get me a Ron Santo.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't have that one either. So I'm actually waiting for Matt to send me a whole bunch so I can start sending him, out. And he's going to send me a year's worth.
He's actually got at least two different Ron Santos and I think possibly a third one. I can't quite remember. But there are two different Ron Santos.
So I would like to welcome onto the show our friend. I believe it's his second time coming on the podcast, and he's the Cubs desk jockey, the trivia master. It's Colton.
Welcome
to the show at Cubs DJ. Welcome back to the Sun Ranto podcast.
How welcome. You doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me back, guys. How you doing?
Awesome. You know, just
we're doing excellent. There's actual baseball now.
Yeah, we're talking about the Cubs, having a good time with each other, drinking a couple of beers. And then, so if people don't know, why don't you explain your show? And Crawley and I were on one of the episodes that just dropped recently.
Yep.
Crawley, of course, wins because he's freaking.
Well, I was going to say, Danny, why were you on that show?
Colton asked me to be it. I was like, all right. And I came in last, but that's okay. In fact, the one question that I got wrong was the Mordecai Brown question. Yeah. And I and I said Mordecai Brown, and then I guessed something else. So I was right at first, and I didn't go with the first answer I had. I would have got
Danny, the question wasn't who only had three fingers, was it? Because if you missed that question, then I'm going to, I don't know, pull your Cubs card, I guess.
Aramis Ramirez. So I just dropped a link in the chat to @CubsDJ. You have an awesome YouTube channel with a bunch of trivia shows. So tell me what's going on with that. How many episodes you got going? And
sure.
What's going on? When are they coming out?
Yeah, this season I am looking to find the world's smartest Cubs fan. What's nice is Crawley was on episode one, so the search may have started and ended as fast as possible. Crawley absolutely dominated.
So 10 episode, for 10.
I know. He was talking himself out of some answers, but he brought it back. So that was episode one. It dropped this week. Episode two should be coming out in a couple of weeks, and I'm always looking for it's honestly anybody. If you are a Cubs fan out there watching right now and you think you know Cubs trivia, check out that link that Danny dropped. Watch the show. If you think you can do better, hit me up on Twitter at Cubs DJ. I want to see who is the world's smartest Cubs fan. I want to see someone beat Crawley.
This
is the season to do it.
We've said his name three times.
And that means that you have summoned him. And here he is, the king of trivia, Cubs trivia. It's Crawley joining us live tonight. Possibly. Well, if anybody can beat Crawley, they are the smartest Cub fan. That's just how that works.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that, because now I got all these gunslingers coming after me, yelling at me, trying to give me trivia questions. It's a joy. How's everybody doing, man? How are the ranters?
Everybody's good tonight. We're just, we got the tie ball game on. It's 2-2 in the sixth. Right now it's, Wisniewski fighting for that fifth spot tonight. Which we didn't get into it a little bit, but we didn't get into anything.
Oh, he might be fighting for the fourth spot with the way Tyone is struggling.
He is not pitching yet. Yeah. So it's still spring training. So we thought we'd have Colton on and promote the new show, which you dominated on, Crawley. And also just get everybody watching that show, but also come on here and have a little fun and see if people in the chat can beat you at trivia tonight. And I know you got a bunch of questions. So why don't you fire one up here, Colton? Hold on.
Just for the record, I am – first off, Danny, I wanted to say that looks like a captain's hat. I don't know if that's intentional or what the hat you're wearing. Yes. I saw you on when you were with Carol Haddon in spring training.
Oh, yeah, right? We didn't even talk about that. Right behind the plate.
He's right behind the plate with the legendary Carol Haddon, and I'm sitting there. Did you guys do a fireball shot, though?
Did I do one with her?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
She brings her bottle of fireball every spring training game, and I'm watching, and I'm like, is there a guy with a captain's hat on? And I was like, there's only one person who would have a hat that goofy. So I'm like, Danny, are you sitting next to Carol Haddon? He's like, taking a picture, selfie while I'm sitting at fucking work.
It's Danny's version of Captain Cubbo.
Yeah. Well, what I think is also funny is that because me and Carol had a great day. She told me about her new boyfriend and stuff. I don't know if that's supposed to get that out there, but she's
breaking news.
We had a wonderful conversation. She's a wonderful lady. And then I was looking at the game yesterday, and who do I see, of course, in the front row again in her seats? It's Carol. But look, she's sitting with that guy, and he's got the same fucking glasses.
That's awesome.
Love is alive.
Carol is a legendary Cub fan, man. And you know, if you're in your 70s or I don't know how old she is, but wearing those glasses and doing shots of fireball and sitting right behind home plate at spring training, you're doing something right.
Hell yeah.
The dream, truly.
Now, when it comes to trivia, I will say that, you know, there are certain people I would say that know more than me. I think the bar is so low. Everyone just thinks I don't know Cubs trivia, that when I do know something, I think there's more, wow, that Crawley actually knows something. But I would say probably one of my greatest arch nemesis when it comes to trivia would be Randall J. Sanders.
Okay. We should have him.
That guy knows some stuff.
Yeah.
So Randall J. Sanders and I, this is a true to God story. Where's story time with Crawley? You still got that drop?
not on me, but I'll pull it up while you're talking.
You son of a bitch. Well,
I get it.
It's no good if I can't. It has to be the intro to the story. That's how it all works.
Well, all right. Well, stall for
Crawley, I thought you were going to say your nemesis was Gary Pressey, but
Gary Pressey and I went to a duel. No, Gary's the master. Gary's kind of next level. But I was proud of that because
that's who we need to get for you, Colton.
Yeah, we do.
I went toe to toe with Gary, and what ended up happening with that story was another story time with Crawl here, but you know, we did the social media night and they were doing trivia and I got all the way to the end and we get to Gary Pressey. That's like the big boss, like for anyone that plays video games, that's like the Bowser over there, you know? And I'm sitting there and, you know, they would sit there and they would ask me questions and Gary would be playing the organ with like his earphones on so he couldn't hear anything. And so they asked us a question and I got it right. And then Gary got it right. And then they asked us like a number question and we both got it right. And then it came down to like a third set of questions. We both got it right. And then they didn't have any more questions left. And Gary was pissed because he was undefeated. And he's like, what do you mean you have no more questions? Make one up. And they're like, and it was Michael Bowling. And he's like, oh, God, shit, dude.
He's sitting there. How many fingers did Mordecai Brown have?
And so I ended up getting a Chris. It was a Chris Bryant baseball is what I ended up getting out of that.
Oh, wow.
And you can find that on YouTube.
Danny, that's absolutely correct. And I would have. It is. It's eight. It's
yeah, Mordecai Brown should actually be called three, it's Brown. Eight.
Yeah, he has eight fucking fingers.
A sequel.
eight finger Brown just seems so weird. So they just went with three.
It seems even dirtier. Yeah.
It does. I guess putting in work.
No, I feel like Crawley is sort of the Cubs version of Stump the Schwab. Did you guys ever watch that?
Yeah.
On ESPN? Like, you'd have three people compete. The best one would get a chance to go up against the Schwab, who knew everything. And I kind of feel like Colton, like this season is like you finding the Schwab and then maybe, you know, and then
it's
next year, the whole season is to see who gets to go against that person. So,
yeah, who can conquer Crawley?
And see, but to be fair, I do have kryptonite, and I know what my kryptonite is. So that's the thing is that like Randall, when it comes,
it's how many fingers?
No, it has nothing to do with
more fingers.
I'm not a big jersey number guy. I don't like jersey numbers. Some people are really boom, boom, boom. You rule out a jersey number. I'm like, the other thing is like,
That really is hard.
Right. And I'm so Cub-centric. When they leave, I really don't. I mean, I'll know where Chris Bryant is, but if you're asking, I remember I was on Beer Money. This was years ago. I used to do Beer Money with Comcast Sportsnet. And they asked me to name five teams other than the Cubs that David DeJesus played for. I was like, are you shitting me? I'm like, nah, I think I got four out of the five, but I'm like, I forget what he think he played for the Nationals. I didn't get that one.
Well, I got good news for you here.
Yes.
And that is
story time with Crawley, with Crawley, with Crawley. Story time with Crawley. It's Crawley story time.
What we need is trivia time with Crawley, with Crawley, trivia time. So let's fire up a question. We've been sitting here, and we got a bunch of questions to get through. Now is the first question the Rizzo question?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to bring it on the screen here as well. And so you can comment. Crawley, don't look in the comments because people are going to be –
I was just looking. Robert Sanchez didn't know Billy Williams played for the A's. I think he got in a postseason with the A's. If memory serves correct on that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, but I shouldn't. Okay.
So here we go. Here's the first question. We'll put it up here.
Yep.
Go ahead and shoot, Colton.
All right. Anthony Rizzo owns the first, second, and third spot in franchise history for hit-by-pitches in a single season. What member of the 2016 World Series roster is tied for third highest hit-by-pitches in a season?
I think I know this.
Boy, first, second, and third franchise history, single season. What member of the 2016 roster? So he had to have a lot of at-bats.
Mm-hmm. He's not saying
did it happen that year?
No, it didn't happen in 2016. I'm with you, Colton. I know this one. I'm excited.
I would say Wilson Contreras.
Wilson Contreras is correct.
That, yep.
Ding, 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 ding. Very nice. Well,
that's the thing is, that's why I asked, because Contreras only played half that season in 2016. Right. So that's where I'm like, okay, it couldn't have been Wilson.
Yeah, well, and Robert, honestly, Wilson tied that record just playing against the Brewers.
Yep. It was 2022, the summer of the Brewers.
Yep, yeah, they just
that happens, man.
Beating the living crap out of him that year.
So, how about this? Good job. Here's the second question.
Yu Darvish finished the 2019 season with 11.5 Ks per nine, which is the second best in Cubs history for a season. Who is number one?
Number one, so he's got about 12.
Is there a minimum innings on this, or?
For my research, I'm pretty sure it's a starter. So I don't think it's Marmol. If that's everyone's answer, it is a starter.
It is a starter. Okay, yeah, because I'm wondering if there's like a minimum.
I mean, obviously, Jake Arrieta is the first thing that comes to my mind.
IFG is feeling real good about her answer.
I'm feeling pretty good about Crawley's answer because he just pulled it up.
Jake Arrieta.
The final answer is Jake Arrieta, and that is Crawley's first incorrect answer.
Really?
Let's go to the. We got Fergie.
I don't think it's Fergie. I don't think
we got Kerry Wood
would be the second answer that I would have gone with, other than.
See, I'm so bad at rate stats. Aww.
We've got a Mark Pryor over here.
Who are you thinking, IFG?
Oh no, I was with Crawley with Jake with that 2015 season, but
wondering Kerry Wood.
Actually, this might be the correct answer.
It's the rate stat.
It's Javi Baez. No, we mean pitchers.
Correct.
The most strikeouts per nine might be Javi Baez, but yeah, we mean
pitchers. Okay, so what is the answer?
Chad is right. It is 1998, Kerry Wood.
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
David Elliott had it.
Who was it? David Elliott. Nice.
Yeah. A couple people had it. Okay, so let's go to the third question here, which is here we go.
Out of curiosity, on that last question, was there a minimum innings pitched on that one?
There was. I just don't know what it was. So I think it was just eliminate all relievers.
Because Kerry had a shortened 98. He got injured there too. You know what I mean? When you think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's probably why he shot up so much there.
Yeah, literal.
Yeah. Here we go.
He had that one, 1998. That's his 20 strikeout game. So he just jacks it up and then takes the half a season off.
It's like three games of strikeouts in one game. So here we go. Question three.
What starting pitcher has the best single season winning percentage in franchise history? Minimum 20 game start.
Pitcher wins. Now you're in Sun Ranto Show territory.
There we go, baby.
Most important stat in baseball.
I'm going to throw this out there. I think this is an old timer.
I know. I'm thinking about Danny's shirt right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking an old timer. Like, this is not a. I'm thinking this is nobody in the last 50 years. Is in this list.
I'm looking at this as either a Hippo Vaughn or it's a Mordecai Three Finger Brown kind of answer that it feels like.
Alexander Miller says Hippo Vaughn. Tom Cooper says Sutcliffe. Alex Miller also says Hank Browery, who
never
I don't
heard
even
of that
know.
Guy.
that could be anybody
from 1849.
How about Orville Overall?
So when you think about those 19, a lot of people say the 1906 Cubs were better than the 1907 and 1908 Cubs, and there's questions if that Cub team threw the series against the White Sox. Actually, I would go with Three Finger Brown. Or Six Finger Alfonseca, I don't know. Three Finger Brown.
The correct answer is actually Rick Sutcliffe, 1980.
Oh, really?
Rick Sutcliffe.
Tom Cooper.
Really? Oh, 16, and because he showed up late.
Yeah, he was with Cleveland.
Pitched
20 games.
Wasn't it minimum 20 games started?
He started exactly.
So they counted the Cleveland ones and the Cubs ones.
No, he started 20 with the Cubs. He had three no decisions, one loss.
Yep.
And 16 wins. Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, it's almost a trick question. All right, so the next one, here we go.
Next question. Who is the post-World War II franchise leader in triples in a single season?
Wow, triples in a single season.
Post-World War II.
I brought very hard questions tonight. I'm sorry. Jesus.
No, I think you did better than to bring your C game like you did last time. You were like, I'm just going to throw a few out
there.
Oh,
these chumps, these guys got nothing.
I'm going to warm
what
it up.
What team won the World Series in 2016? Was it A, the Cubs?
No.
Triples. God, triples. I love triples. Triples is such an exciting play.
Remember last year when the Cubs hit like season. 8 triples in like August or some shit like that?
Yeah.
It was insane.
So I'm going to go.
It's got to be something fast.
Great point.
Danny's over here breaking it down.
I'm pretty sure the guy was fast. Let's go Jerome Walton.
Jerome Walton is actually not correct as well.
All right. How about, do we get another guess out there? Do we have any guesses in the chat we should be bringing up?
There is a correct answer in chat.
Crazy Legs Murphy?
Crazy Legs did it again.
Ernie Banks.
Banks is slow. Santo is slow. Sandberg was quick when he was part of that. It was quicker early in the days. Like
Rhino? Yeah. How
about 83, Rhino? 84. I would say Rhino more than anything. If you're gonna
Rhino's correct. 1984, he had 19 triples.
Yeah, daily double.
Wow!
Daily 19 double. Triples? That's insane.
Like putting that into perspective, I think Javi's best season, he had 9.
Yeah. And that was insane. And that was a crazy season.
Right.
I can't imagine 19 triples is like, what was the ballpark in Brooklyn that had like the 500 foot center field?
Yeah.
Oh, the polo grounds?
The polo grounds. Yeah. That's polo grounds territory when you're hitting shit. And that's why it's post World War II, isn't it?
Yep.
You're just like,
yes, it is.
There's some weird.
Yeah. 1909 was one hell of a season for triples. I'll tell you that much. That was crazy.
No, Sandberg, though, people forget because later on he was just more of a home run bopper, but in the early days he was fast.
He was fast.
Yeah. And that was a different game, too. We're almost getting back to it now, which is the stolen base game and a lot of speed. We just picked for our fantasy league. We have a Ranter fantasy team that we picked for the other night. And I was doing a little research because I never did it before. And they said the things that people aren't considering as much in fantasy that they should is the fact that stolen bases are way up right now and that you should be picking guys because that counts on your categories if you're in a league like that. So it's interesting that maybe we'll see more triples as speed is valued.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, and think about how much closer third base is to the batter's box now.
And three inches,
I think. But whatever, it's still closer.
You got a guy like
it makes all the difference in the world.
That's PCA math. Up there, and that's the question of what PCA can do. I mean, like you see everything. He can singles to doubles to triples.
Oh my God. Yeah. Crawley. When it was one of the first games when PCA scored from second on a hit to third base.
That was
ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was funny. Cause like, you know, you always have the contrarians on Twitter. Like there was two outs and it was, and he was running on contact. I'm like, he was right behind Canario. He literally was like on his heels. He was that fast.
He almost took him over.
Seriously. He almost laughed.
If it was like Rizzo running, he would, you know, he'd be like, whoa, I got to hold up.
I know. When PCA comes up, they're going to have to construct the lineup to have at least one guy faster than him in front of him.
At least someone.
Or at least enough. You don't want the.
Oh, perfect nine hitter. Perfect nine hitter.
Yeah, you don't want him to get the freeze out there.
Next question. Let's keep rolling here.
Next question. Who is the all-time franchise leader in career strikeouts?
Is that Fergie?
This is hitters. I'm sorry.
Oh. It's got to be like Sammy Sosa, probably. Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa is correct. Back on the train.
Wow, there you go. That was quick,
too. I was going to sneak Sammy in there.
Yeah, Sammy. Had that one. Yeah, Sammy, obviously, you know, I mean, you got to talk about long time and a guy that's swinging power guy that's, you know, a lot of strikeouts. So, you know, Sammy.
Let's keep rolling
he
here.
He wasn't up there looking for a walk.
Only two Cubs pitchers have ever won a Silver Slugger Award. Jake Arrieta won it in 2016, and who else?
Carlos Zambrano.
Carlos Zambrano, the switch-hitting stud. Yes, sir.
Nice.
That very was good. Fast. See, you're in his wheelhouse here. He's with back. The 03 and 03 to 08.
Carly's best years back when he had a soul patch.
Yeah. Oh,
that was you remember, hand in hand.
They gave him out for Matt Clement and all the nuns wore him and stuff like that. It was yeah, a big deal. Matt
Clement. That was the worst. I hate that freaking thing. I mean, I never even liked it back then. If I would have known you back then, I would have slapped that off your face, Carly.
I didn't have one, I don't think, but we'll see.
So, all right, so next one.
Yep. Who is the only Chicago Cub to win the All-Star Game MVP?
Only Cub to
win. Kosuke Fukudome. No.
Yeah, it's not a bad guess. I mean, that he would just go no. up in that one game and do something awesome. No. Must have been a long time ago. I don't remember there being any Cubs at the All-Star Game.
Definitely were, but I got to just... I'm...
Ron Coomer.
Right. Yeah, that's why they
former Cub and All Star.
That's why Pat always calls him the legend.
Let's go with the All Star. Is it pre or post World War II?
Post.
Post World
War. Ernie Banks.
I feel like I got.
I personally think it's Ryan Sandberg, and a lot of people in the chat are saying Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah, wait, Bill Madlock. We got out here.
I'll go with Bill Madlock, actually. That's not a bad – Bill Madlock's the way I'm going.
That is a great way to go. 1975, Bill Madlock.
One of the worst Cubs mistakes in history, getting rid of that guy.
Tom Cooper actually had that right before Alex Miller, so didn't want to – Tom was about to lose his shit.
Yeah, good job, Tom. No, I mean, this is all just for fun. There are no prizes.
There's no prizes, but there is real anger.
The prizes is the fun that we're having as we're doing it.
The friends we've made along the way.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen to that.
All right, now here's the, I believe, final question.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Final question. Who led the 2003 Cubs in war?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Sosa didn't have a good year that year. Ramos was half a year.
Mark Pryor
would be the guy that I'm kind of leaning towards.
So Ramos only had half a year, but are they going to put in the whole year on this? Or do you
Tom know? Cooper, Derek Lee was on the Marlins in 2003. He got the big hit in the seventh inning against the Cubs. I'm going to go with Mark Pryor.
Mark Pryor is correct.
Wow. Very nice.
Very nice.
So still, well, like, done. I think overall you had more correct answers than anybody in the chat because, that's just how numbers work.
it's always fun doing some trivia. And then, you know, like, yeah, the Sutcliffe one, I just was thinking more not because of him coming over, but that was an incredible run that he had.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Dempster had another one in 2008. I think he was like 18-1 at Wrigley Field or something like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but see, the problem there is that he had too many starts to get a winning percentage, you know, and Sutcliffe only had the half year, like because you're not adding in the Cleveland stuff. That's,
those are little things you got to think about in trivia, but I'm glad you asked that because now when it comes up, that one I'm going to.
No, that, yeah, that.
Not in your holster.
That's a great question. And you put right in there, minimum 20 game start, which means somebody started 20 times.
Now, my question, are we going to have any trivia for Ranterfest?
Oh, hell yeah. And we're going to actually talk all about Ranterfest after this next break and give you kind of the scoop of what's going on as it gets booked. And so everybody can plan accordingly. But first, Crawley, I would like you to plug the Fly the W show and tell me what's going on with that. Who you got coming on, who you got interviewing, showing up on your show. Coming up.
Yeah, Fly the W podcast. You can find anywhere you do get your podcast. This week we had Andrew Destin on. We've been kind of going around. We had Gordo on with the Reds. Andrew Destin was talking about the Pirates. And then it looks like Jim Callis is going to be on either Monday's show or Thursday's show, going to talk about the top 30 prospects, Cubs prospects. And we got the spring break, the prospect game on Friday. I will be leaving Wednesday night to head to Mesa. It is finally my turn, Danny, after watching all you bastards enjoying yourself. We are going to go down to Mesa. We got about 20 to 25 Club 400 members, and we're going to wreck it pretty good.
Wait, are you going to get to go to that spring breakout game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And the Cubs and the Padres have the most players in that game, right?
Yeah, I'll put up the lineups. It actually looks pretty cool. We just saw Michael Arias. He's going to be – maybe he starts this game. Who knows? But big Cubs prospect. He was just in the game tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited because I got to see Arias and Ballesteros when I went to Myrtle Beach last year. I'm really, really – I saw Jefferson Rojas down there. I saw some of these guys over in – you know, I was in Iowa a couple times, and I was in South Bend. But I have not seen pitcher, Cade Horton. I have not seen Cade Horton, so I'm dying to see Cade Horton pitch.
You see Cade Horton. You can see Cole Franklin, Michael Arias, who I just mentioned. Those are, like, the big pitchers.
And then Ed Howard – I don't – like, we haven't mentioned him all spring training, kind of, like, lost track of him after his hip fell out. Is he – like, obviously, he's going to be in the minor leagues.
Yeah, but, I guess he's back, so.
Yeah, that's
– he's on this list. I'm interested
in seeing him now. Yeah.
There's a lot of great names on here. It just shows what the Cubs have built in the last few years after tanking.
Yeah, I mean, Hayden McCreary is really a name that people may not know. He's a big guy, good first baseman in the system. I was hoping to see Felix Stevens. He's another. The guy looks like an absolute tank, first baseman, DH type guy, huge. Obviously, I mean, I think everyone knows the outfielders. And I really, really love Pablo Aliendo and Moises Ballesteros. Those are two of my favorite guys, man. They're absolutely amazing catchers. And, you know, it's weird. We were worried because there was nothing behind Wilson for a while. And now you got a lot of guys now that I would feel comfortable if they had to come up right now. It'd be a little bit early, but to catch, spring breakout is going to be an absolute blast. That's the only reason I went that week is because of that spring breakout game. And what happened? Sammy Sosa shows up at the spectacular. I'm like, God damn it. Literally every time I go to the show in the springtime, you don't get a lot of baseball. It's mostly football players, wrestlers, and boxers. So I'm like, you know, everyone's going. I'd never been to St. Patrick's Day, which is supposed to be a huge deal down in Mesa. And then they had the spring breakout game. I'm like, fuck it, I'll go. And now all of a sudden Sosa's coming back. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Literally gone for 20 years, and he shows up the one time I've been going to this stupid spectacular for 20 years, and the one time I don't go, Sammy Sosa returns.
Sosa's avoiding you, we all know. Colton, one more time, just plug what you got going on, right? Cubs DJ?
Yep, Cubs DJ on YouTube. Looking for the world's smartest Cubs fan this season. I have some other Cubs content on there as well, so check it out.
Are you looking for contestants? Is this something people can contact you about being on your show?
Yep. Go to my Twitter at Cubs DJ. Shoot me a DM, and we will get you set up. It's come one, come all.
Now, Colton, I will say this though: you keep saying you're looking for the smartest Cubs fan, the best at trivia, because the smartest Cubs fans are. The ranchers. this group of people in the ranchers, like, we are living in the future of Cubs baseball. I swear to God, this whole group, people are bringing shit up all the time in our Discord. If you're intuition. A Patreon, you get to get in there and you get to throw out your insane predictions that actually come true, because we're all smarter than the most advanced statistics over there.
Well, Colton's a pretty smart guy. He just got married, right?
I did just get married. Yep.
Yeah. Congratulations on that, man. You got to be smart. If you find a good woman to put up with your Cubs crap, like my wife has for the last 20 odd years, you don't let them go. That's a smart move.
Yeah. It's, my wife actually last summer, she finally said, like, hey dude, you have to stop watching every single Cubs game. Like, I'm tired of this. And then like 2 days later, she was like, walking past, she's like, why isn't Talkman hitting leadoff this game? I was like, oh, so you are watching. Okay.
Yep. That's look, I've
got a girl.
Yeah. My wife, Emily, is she has been watching the game. I mean, she was a fan before we got together. But one thing that I love is the fact that I can walk in and actually talk real baseball to her and have her say shit to me that I'm like, I wasn't even thinking of that. You know, like, just so you guys know, I only bring half of my own thoughts to this. The other half is Emily.
Well, my wife
telling me what to say.
Go ahead, Dave.
My wife used to be a Cubs fan until I did this show for the last 12 years, and now she fucking hates the Chicago Cubs with a passion. She's like, do I have to hear about the stupid fucking team that I don't give a shit about? I used to just like be a fair weather fan and just show up in the bleachers, have a good time, have a couple beers, and now it's all this bullshit.
Now, my wife actually could be very helpful if you have a show about places to go in Wrigleyville, because she always gets the charges and grills me on them. So she knows all the hot spots in Wrigley Field. I would say the other thing that
– So she literally has the receipts is what you're saying.
Oh, yes, literally. And then the other thing is she's excited because we – of course, I sort of got my timing this year has been a little bit off. But I am going to see the Savannah Bananas in Iowa.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
My wife is so super excited because she's like, that is real baseball. And I'm like, no, but it's fun.
Yes. No, she is right. That is real baseball. And tell the party animals I love them.
And the only thing that's going to be a little bit rough is that it's going to be the weekend of the Hall of Fame induction, the Cubs Hall of Fame induction. So I'm going to miss that. They're going to be playing the Yankees. It's going to be Kerry Wood and Aramis. It's the same damn weekend as the Savannah Bananas. My wife, I love her to death. She said, should we just cancel it? I'm like, no, babe, you really want to go to this Bananas game. We're going to go to the Bananas game. So
you're going to have a great time. Whatever. You know, like,
Crawley's like, I've seen the Yankees before.
I've seen all those guys. A bunch of times.
I
want to see three guys throw out one pitch.
Well, I'd like to thank you both for coming on the show and doing a little trivia. I've had a good time. And but we're going to take a quick – we're going to let you guys go, and we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and talk all about the plans for Ranter Fest. It's shaping up. We also have an answer, of course, to this week's Cubsler, a couple TFCs, and then we'll get the hell out of here and go over
our – Cubsler was a tough one this week.
Hey, whoever wins the Cubsler, they get to the grand prize. I get to crash on their couch for the Ranter Fest weekend.
Congratulations.
That is your prize.
Crawley, have you been trying to solve some of these? I think you did get one of them, but have you been trying to solve some of these?
I've been looking at them. It's just literally I'm going to spring training in Mesa, and then right after that I got a trip. We're going to the Rangers. We're going to do a week in Texas, so we're going to go to Austin for a little bit, and then for like 3 or 4 days, and then we're heading over to the Rangers to check out opening day. So my brain is absolutely like not there right now.
Yeah, well, so Colton, I do a Cubsler, and it is absolutely has nothing to do with what you know.
Look, I'm a huge trivia buff. I go to trivia every night. Like, they're surprised. Like, I win the trivia, like, most of the time. I share my trivia names.
They're good.
Every Wednesday. I love it. And I have never gotten a Cubsler. They don't make any sense. I'm like, this is nonsense.
It's like an acid trip. It really is a nonsensical phrase of, it's like you're on acid when you're reading
it. And then when I explain it, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm even more confused personally, but that's just.
I just wanted to say thank you to the Ranters real quick. Thank you guys for your time. And Captain Danny, ahoy, matey.
Aye, aye. All right. We'll be right back.
Take it easy, guys.
If you like the Cubs a bunch, buy your t-shirts from In the Clutch. We've got all the best styles for you. Dansby Sayre, Morel too. Clark Fly in his double U. Cody Bellinger smoking dudes. Vintage shirts from days of old. Patrick Wisdom and Nico. You'll look sharp wearing your stro. 10% off with the code. SONRANTO. SONRANTO. InTheClutch.com is your store for the most fun baseball shirts on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code SUNRANTO to knock a couple bucks off your purchase. Stack or die, we need more cups. Get it all at In the Clutch. Cause if you like the Cubs a bunch, buy t-shirts from In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch.
watch the
Hey Cubs fans, at Amazon.com do you buy lots of
stuff?
Why not support the Sun Ranto Show by shopping through sunranto.com/stuff? All you gotta do is fill your cart at Amazon with lots of
stuff.
Then before you check out with all of that wonderful
stuff,
head on over to sunranto.com/stuff and click any of our Amazon links before you buy your
stuff.
Check out like you normally would with all that beautiful
stuff.
And the Sun Ranto Show will get a small kickback because of the
stuff
you bought. And you'll be helping the Sun Ranto Show buy all the
stuff
we need to stay on the air talking about the Cubs and other
stuff.
Plus, you could win a monthly prize if some of your
stuff
is chosen for Amazon
stuff
of the month. And if you win, we'll send you more
stuff.
sunranto.com/stuff. That address again is sunranto.com/stuff.
Do you ever find yourself longing for long walks and talks about catcher metrics? How about a coffee over run differential? Maybe a candlelit dinner dissecting what exactly is the curious case of Miles Mastroboni? If you have, I have just the place for you, the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Come join us. Cubs PS Plus, a Northside numbers game, can be found wherever it is you get your podcasts, and on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all at Cubs PS Plus, a spin on the baseball metric, OPS Plus. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Sun Ranto Show. We looked weird for a second there in that, like, My Three Sons window thing that we had. You ever see that show? It was on, like, on...
That was even before our time, before, Danny.
But it was on in reruns when I faked sick at home. And anyway, we're back to normal here. But I do want to mention that hashtag chance in the chat. You can win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. Also a prize at the end of the year. I also want to mention once again that I'm wearing my Mordecai Brown. I just love this shirt so much. It's so disgustingly beautiful. It's got the shocker. It's like, it's such a conversation starter. But you can see how it's kind of skit. I mean, people kind of don't know my body type, but I'm not a thin man. But this kind of makes, it gives me a V, more of a V shape. You know what I mean?
They call it an athletic fit.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And so it works out. It makes me want to work out. Makes me want to do a few push-ups before I go down to the ballpark and, like, show up, you know? So, I also want to mention this is brought to you by Matt Cameron, Etsy, and his permanent paintings. And one more time to the Super Ranters who support us on patreon.com/sunranto. We say it a lot, and sometimes it seems meaningless because I say it so much that, you know, thank you for supporting us and stuff. But I can't say enough how this show does not happen without your support. Like, it is, you know, just, it's a dollar to freaking join. And most of you could have just been ranters for a dollar and just called it a day. And here's 10 bucks a year and have, you know, thanks for the show.
But well, you guys, I'll say beyond the show, the community, granted, I get it. You're paying for our friendship in some way, if you think about it like that. But we all have, like, there's a really good community in that Discord. I think you're paying for the opportunity to get in with some really good Cubs fans who think outside of the box. You know what I mean? Like, so many people come out and they're
the three of us would be talking shit about our favorite team in the group chat, whether or not y'all were here. But yeah. With the Discord, all of you can join us.
And it's just such a good conversation. So many times I get in there and people are talking about things and it just gives me a different perspective on the things that I'm thinking.
Yeah, so, and you know, everybody's coming at it from a different perspective. And
we can argue with love.
And yeah, smart people in there. And the other thing I'm super excited about to transition to Ranter Fest is that we're all going to get together on the weekend of May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. And just this morning, I woke up and I was like, I'm going to do a little work on Ranter Fest because I definitely wanted to talk about it tonight and say what it was kind of going to be so that you can make your plans accordingly. And I just got super excited this morning as I was picturing it in my head. And I started making a list of all the people I want to invite to be on the Ranter Fest show. And it would fill up half the room, just the people I want on the show. And I'm like, oh, God, I have to narrow it down to people that'll be there. And so I want to say there's not going to be a lot of room for Ranter Fest because we have a limited availability. Tickets are going to go on sale this week to Patreon people. I want you guys to have at least a few weeks of having first crack of at everything. So it's not going to be expensive, by the way. I'm not going to be like, it's $100 and, you know, for every event. It's not going to be. It's going to be more like $20, $10. Everything could be bought a la carte. But let me just talk about the weekend. First of all, on Friday, Friday's part of it. Thursday's even part of it. Oh, yeah, I see you put up here from the chat, how can I become a ranter? You go to sunranto.com, or no, sorry, patreon.com/sunranto, and for $1 a month, you can sign up and become a super ranter. There's perks at every level. But we're going to start on Thursday, actually, when IFG and me and whoever the hell else, maybe you, Michael, if you can come up a day early, going up to Milwaukee. We're watching the game, Cubs, Brewers up there. Then on Friday, this will be part of the formal Rancher Fest. We're going to have a pregame meetup over at Nisei Lounge on Friday. We're going to catch the Cubs at 1:20 against the Reds on Friday afternoon. Then we'll have a post-game meetup. Slash show. So we're going to meet up at Output Lounge, which is right just north of the ballpark in Wrigleyville. And that's when we're going to have Billy DeVore, Eric Wheelo, Joe Kilgallen, hopefully Johnny Onomatopoeia. I'm working on
hosting
the night, you know. So he's seeing if he can come out. And also a show by Bleacher Bum Band. So right after the game, you come over, you get some food, then we'll start a show. We'll just keep the party going. Saturday is Ranter Fest, the main event. We're going to meet at almost home at noon, even a little bit earlier. I know they open at 11. You're going to want to get your seat earlier. It's not going to be a lot of seats. It'll be first come, first serve. But that Ranter Fest starts at noon. We'll have a chance to get in there, check in with each other, get a name tag, all meet each other, hang out, and then the podcast will start at 1:20. It'll be a celebration of our 1,000th show. We're having an all-star cast of Cubs fans and media types and – you know, everybody from your Mai Tai guys to your Bleacher Jeffs to maybe your David Kaplans. I haven't invited him yet, but I'm hoping John Baker comes. Maybe he can come. I know it's
that'd be cool.
It's the 10-year anniversary of John Baker Day, so although we have to pass it in some respect. Then we're gonna go see the game. It's Morel bobblehead night. We're all gonna go get a bobblehead.
I'm very excited about this.
With a beautiful removable jersey. And then we're going to party in the bleachers. All these games I'm talking about, get your own tickets. We'll probably be in the bleachers, but I know that some of you already have tickets for games because you're season ticket holders and things like that. So I'm just saying we'll probably be in the bleachers. So if you want to hang out with us in the game, do that or put together your own little group and everything and sit somewhere else if you prefer. Then on Sunday, we're going to wake up and we're going to have like a donut celebrity softball game brunch hungover throw up fest.
And delightful.
We'll find a place to go. We're just going to get out the 16-inch softball, toss the ball around, informally play softball against each other. And then whoever's still in, we'll go watch that 1:20 start, Cubs Reds. And
yep, we're going to play 16-inch softball the way God intended, under the sun, no pitch clock, no catchers get the fuck out of the way or you're going to get run down. There's none of that. We're just going for it. Like, that's real baseball.
You don't even need a catcher at 16 inches. You don't. You don't need a catcher. So anyway, it's going to be, and there's going to be more activities. We're going to have like a live bitch clock. We're going to have Colton come and do trivia. We're going to have contests. It's just going to be an epic Woodstockian weekend.
I'm going to need a week off after my vacation to recover from all this.
I was thinking that because I'm taking the Thursday and Friday off of work. And then I was like, well, really, I need Thursday, Friday, and at least Monday off of work to sleep all day and recover from everything. So it's going to be a blast. I do want to bring up a couple things, which is, first of all, that if you have an extra bedroom and you live in Chicago, I know a lot of people will be coming in. If you want to maybe in the Discord, I mean, this would be kind of a ranter only thing. I don't want you to open your house to somebody that, you know, you don't know. I don't want to put anybody in danger. But if you would be willing to host somebody, I did look into Airbnbs. They're really expensive that weekend.
We should do a Cubs B&B channel in the Discord so people can arrange that stuff.
Yeah, it's a great idea because, you know, then if you, especially if you're flying solo, just want to come in for the weekend, somebody might have a couch for you to crash on. I know Crawley's going to end up on somebody's floor at some point. He might not even ask. You know, he just
show up, pass out, then you can't move him. So you're
I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to give him a blanket.
Probably.
He's an easy house guest. He won't even take a blanket from you. He's like, I'm good. And he just wakes up and he takes his shirt off just to use as a little blanket, you know,
which doesn't make any sense at all. Right. You just pull your arms into your shirt.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Hey, it's Crawley. What are you going to do? And then, what else? So get your own tickets. We'll have, passes available. And I think one of the things that I'm doing right now is I'm raising money is I've written a musical. I've written this musical called The Game. I'm turning 50 years old on May 12th. So this is kind of all wrapped into it with me, wherever Ranter Fest, my birthday, like it's all happening at the exact same time. And one thing I realized is that I'd like to make a really strong demo. I need great actors. I need great singers. I need great musicians to help me make this demo. And I need to pay them money to make this thing for this musical. Also to physically write the music. I need a score, orchestrator, all these things that go in to making the final project. And a lot of you guys know I've been working on this for a long time. So one of the things I'm doing for my 50th birthday is I'm going to launch a big fundraising effort towards being able to get the money to pay these fabulous artists to come and record these songs so I can put the show to the next level and produce something. So, Bleacher Bump 23 is 43 on May 12th. I will be 50 on May 12th. So, hey, happy birthday to both of us. So, anyway, that'll be kind of partly, and I haven't figured out how it's all going to be, but I'm going to be trying to raise money throughout Ranter Fest for that activity. Also, the Lost Boys is a big part of what we always do. And not only are we going to raise money for them at Ranter Fest, but we're also going to do the March Madness bracket again this year for them. And they will do a 50-50 split with Lost Boys as well.
You know, Danny, I don't think we've talked about the whole Lost Boys thing in quite a while, but we give the Lost Boys 10% of what we make in Patreon. So when you do support the Sun Ranto show with your Patreon money, it also supports the Lost Boys, which Southside, it is a leadership through sports, baseball, boys and girls. Like we're talking like elementary through high school age, and they use baseball and they use sports to help them develop life skills. So it's not a club team. It's not a travel team. It's a life skills.
It's a neighborhood, like home. It's almost like a mentorship.
Yes, they actually do have mentors in it. And I know I have I've volunteered a couple of different winters doing tutoring for the kids, you know, so like they're doing all sorts of things. Danny's been down there to do music programs with them and stuff. And, you know, so for anybody out there that's new and obviously don't know what we're doing with the Patreon stuff all the time, 10% goes to Lost Boys because they are they are not a big part of what we do, but we want to be a big part of what they do because they're doing such great things over there.
Yeah, Levante is the man, and he's definitely going to be part of the Rancher Fest as well. So, you reminded me that that's the last thing I wanted to bring up is that one of the ways that I think we could raise a lot of money is with raffles. So, if you have any kind of clear out your items sort of things, please contact me. You know, not garbage. Don't give me freaking garbage to raffle off and send me. That happened one year. I'm like, send me anything. And then, you know, people just clean out their garage. I got like old newspapers and shit. I'm like, no, this isn't worth shit. I brought them all down to Nisei Lounge and left them on the bar. But I'm talking about things of value, you know, signed baseballs, some autographs, baseball cards, things like that, that even that I could package together into a larger prize package or something. That always helps to have things like that to raffle off at the events that we do. That's a great fundraiser, doing razzes and things like that. That's always wonderful. So if you have anything to donate, a service or anything that you would want to be a part of that. So, because it's all going to be going towards a great cause. Either we're going to be paying Lost Boys or we're going to be paying musicians and artists to make awesome shit. So thank you so much for being a ranter, because it's 12 years now that this has been going on. And this is just going to be an awesome weekend. I'm super excited. It's all culminating into just what's going to be a freaking great weekend. I'm super excited. So couple things I did want to mention. I did mention the March Madness brackets. We're doing the Fantasy League. I guess there's going to be another one because people were like, I missed the Fantasy League. And Jeff in the Discord said, I'll make another one and be the commish. So I guess there's another one. So if you want to be in, I don't know, just go into the Discord and find out, because Jeff is doing one. I also, very importantly, David Lieb, one of our super ranters, he's doing an event which is to raise money for mental health suicide prevention called Out of the Darkness. He is looking for sponsors. It's an overnight walk, which I think is really cool that he's doing this. And so you can find, I'm dropping the link to that in the chat. It's at theovernight.org. And I just, you know, hopefully you can just find the link here. But maybe you can search David Lieb, L-I-E-B, at theovernight.org and find it. So, all right, let's get into the Cubsler. Last week's Cubsler clue. Hold on, let me take some LSD so I can get into this one.
Seriously.
All right. I love the Cubsler. Like, Danny came up with this idea, and he was just kind of like, well, what can you do with this? And I have so much fun with it. And a few people in the Discord were talking about this stuff, and they were just like, it's so hard, and you really have to go through the stuff. And acting like I was some sort of genius. And I'm like, it's so much easier when you have the answer.
When you know the answer and you work backwards. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
when you work backwards, it's much easier. So this week we had, what do we have, three?
Four correct answers.
Four correct answers. And we're going to draw from the correct answers here in just a second. But let's go through last week's Cubsler. A half-baked Cub traded. An unfunny Hollywood screwball spawned a resurgence, not laughs, with a nice career and a ring. Okay. So, the half-baked refers to the movie starring Dave Chappelle, whose co-star was Jim Brewer. And yeah. Jim Brewer was the answer. The Cubs traded Brewer to L.A., so that's the Hollywood part. And the unfunny screwball could refer to the comedian Jim Brewer, who you might think is an unfunny screwball, or also Jim Brewer's actual pitch that that oh, fly the T, Cubs tie, Cubs tie. Yeah, holy cow. But yeah, Jim Brewer's actual pitch that he got in L.A. was a screwball that Warren Spahn, so that part that spawned a resurgence, Warren Spahn helped him with that pitch. That gave his career a new life. His nice career was 69 wins, and his World Series championship was in 1965, and his overall record was 69-65.
Nice.
And there you have the Jim Brewer answer. So it all works together.
And here are your correct answers. Jared Patz, Thomas Trezis. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that.
That's a new one, yeah.
Mike Waller from the Cubs PS Plus podcast and Corey Furlong all had the correct answer.
We had a lot of Dennis Eckersley guesses in there.
So let's take it. Let's take it for a spin and see who's going to win. And the winner is Corey Furlong.
Corey Furlong. Okay.
I saw you just you added a prize to what is going to be a bonanza package.
Yes. So
Cubsler winner. What did you add? A Ronnie Woo Woo talking bobblehead.
We've got a Ronnie. So far, we've got a Ronnie Woo Woo talking bobblehead. I've got a Cubs giveaway jersey. One of the jerseys they gave away at Wrigley last year.
Very
cool. Coming in the mail soon. That's going to be part of it. And then throughout the year, we're going to just like start picking more and more stuff up, which is always fun. Corey, by the way, won last week as well. And I wanted to say, it's not just the winners that's going to be in the grand prize. So the grand prize or the weekly prize winner gets my voice on your voicemail. Just oh,
I
like
forgot about that part. I wasn't going to mention it because, you know.
Well, and I'm behind a little bit. I got to do Scott Sowers and Corey Furlong, and now I got to do two for Corey Furlong.
Why could you be behind? It's the easiest freaking thing to do. All you scream and annoy me.
Because I actually try to set it. I actually do one that's for them because I, you know, it's fun. And I put a little effort into it. But everyone who gives a correct answer, even if you don't get drawn in the weekly, you are going to be in that final group for the grand prize. Oh, so right. the more times you get the answer correct, the more opportunities you get in that spin. So when we spin that wheel, your name might be in there 5, 6, 7 times.
Yeah, but what's the point of winning tonight though? If there's nothing, if you're not going any,
this no, is like because you MLB get my voice on your voicemail with this amazing, prize. Like I call your name out like it's Sun Ranto. And I will say, although Danny hates it, like, isn't that what they used to say at Car Talk? On Car Talk, they used to say it, even though they hate it when we say it, we are from NPR. And even though Danny hates it, I scream your name, and apparently people are excited about hearing me scream their name without it being me mad at them.
Yeah. What else did we have? Oh, yeah, we have to give – oh, we have TFCs. Oh, no, we have this week's Cubsler. You got to tell us this week's Cubsler.
So this week's Cubsler. Oh, let's see. I kind of like this one. 1/3 of his dongs in 13 got him paid by his fourth team. Not quite big, Lebowski, you old goat. All right, so I'm gonna read it one more time. Podcast listeners, write it down. 1/3 of his dongs in 13 got him paid by his fourth team. Not quite big, Lebowski, you old goat.
All right.
Hmm.
And trust me, the answers are in there. You don't need to really know anything about the Cubs.
And don't put the answers in the chat right now because you don't want to be giving it away to somebody else. Just write in to sunranto@gmail.com or the Sunranto Show Twitter. Not my Twitter, not @Sunranto. Sunranto Show Twitter.
Yeah, but direct message if you're going to be in there, because you don't want to put it out for everybody to see. But also, when you're writing that email, Cubsler9, if you can put Cubsler9 in the subject line, it's always the best.
So, TFCs. I'm losing track of where we are in the show. So, TFCs, I have just one. I have two things, actually.
And I got a couple.
What do you got?
Me? Well, let's start off really early. We actually have somebody in the chat who is wanting to become a new Patreon member. We've shown him a couple of times here tonight, Bleacher Bum 23. He's one of my mutual followers on Twitter, and he has said... as of today, well, he said, I think it was like a week ago, he said that he was going to donate $20 for every home run Christopher Morel hit over the course of the year to Stand Up to Cancer. He changed that up this morning. Now it's $20 for every home run the Cubs hit over the course of the year. Wow. It's going to go to standuptocancer.org. The donations are going to be made at the end of each month, and an additional $500 added if the Cubs win the NL Central. I just think that's really great. And I appreciate what, you know, this Bleacher Bum is doing along with, you know, so many of the rest of them. I think we've got a great group of people here, and I just love to, you know, everybody should just go and follow him and support him. He's at Bleacher Bum 007. Go and follow him and, you know, watch him hopefully spend a whole lot of money donating to an amazing cause.
Yeah. I mean, how about 40 home runs from Morel?
I would love that.
Wait, isn't that $800?
That would be $800,
yeah. Woo! Mine by me. It ain't my money.
Right. Yeah, no, that's it's a lot of money, and more power to him. If you can afford that, that's amazing. So, you know, but maybe some of the ranchers out there want to, you know, join in. Maybe we can't afford.
The thing about people like
20, but, you know, a buck.
People like Bleacher Bum 23, what they do is inspire other people to do things like that too. And that's what's, hey, that's a good idea. I want to do that. Remember what Blake Beard did last year for the Father's Day gift? You know, that was incredible, giving away that Wrigley Field package. Like, you know, just paying it forward, paying it forward. And we like to be a big part of that here at Sun Ranch. That's one of the main things I like. Like, we were going to talk about how, like, some of the Cubs got injured. And, like, you know, how Nick Madrigal is a bad hammy. But we all already knew that. And I'd rather talk about people giving away $20 for Morel dogs to fight cancer.
You know what?
Way better.
Speaking of Nick Morel's – or Nick Madrigal's hammy, Nick Morel. Now I'm – good God. Is this going to be a Pedro Strop sort of situation with me?
Stroman.
A Marcus Strop? Okay. So this is my TFC. Talking about the injuries, L. Genie says, if memory serves, this is the fourth time Madrigal suffered a hamstring pull as a major leaguer. And Eli Renfro says, his little legs have to move so fast to be able to keep up. Yeah. And that just made me laugh today when I saw it.
He looks like Fred Flintstone starting his car.
He totally does.
He really does.
And when he runs the bases... Like he runs so straight up and down.
Yeah,
I do hear that. Like that noise.
It does.
I hear that in my head.
So I've got this. I kind of wanted to bring up a little bit about the A's new ballpark.
Oh my gosh!
Like I TFC'd this because I mean, first of all, that's a really cool looking ballpark. It looks like the Wizard of Oz and stuff, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, Emerald City.
It looks like if you put the Hogwarts ceiling on the inside of the Sydney Opera House.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, this looks really cool. And I was like, where have I seen this design before? And I was like, oh, right. The Sydney freaking Opera House. I'm like, dude, you can't make a baseball stadium look like one of the most famous structures in the entire freaking world.
Well, it is Vegas.
Go back to that. The A's actual thing, not that one, the next one. That one. Okay, look, I'm saying cut away like half of this, but that big green part, like I think it would be pretty awesome if it was a semi-indoor park, right? So you just have a big arch going over it, and then it's open on the ends. So it's an open air, you know, but you're under the shade. Like, I think that would be pretty freaking awesome.
Air, it's the goddamn desert.
Yeah, you don't want to be outside at all.
It's summertime in the desert. Hold on, this is in. Hold on, I forgot.
It's not San Francisco, sweetie.
I'm thinking of Oakland. I'm like, This would be amazing. Go to the first picture.
Yeah, this would be
the first picture. Oakland. Looks like I'm thinking Oakland here. Like, there's mountains in the background.
This is some Hogwarts ceiling shit. This is like, we have everything as a video board, and we're just gonna project what inside and outside looks like on it.
What the hell is going on? Like, you can't even, in this picture, you can't even see the baseball stadium. They're like, we're just going
to be surrounded by a poppy field. You would have to be on a significant amount of opium to even think that this AI monstrosity could be built by humans. Like, this, it would cost $11 gajillion.
It looks like the world.
They have $12.50 to build this.
No, that's true. It looks like the world's largest, like, pop up individual tent. You know, like the tent that you have in a bag, and then you open up the bag, and then you have to, like, actually jump out of the way as it flips open. That's kind of what this looks like. It's going to be a pop-up baseball field that they can just deploy anywhere the A's are, because nobody seems to want the A's.
It's the Palace of Versailles, but baseball.
It is.
It's a giant tent city.
The sphere that they have where they do all the projections, is that what it's called? The sphere?
Oh, yeah, where U2 is playing.
Yeah.
So that sphere is amazing. But.
Yeah, it doesn't belong in a baseball. You know, it's just like, that's fine for, like, the planetarium. But, like, you know, we're trying to watch a fucking ball game. You know, I don't need, like,
the planetarium doesn't have balls leaving it at 107 miles an hour.
Yeah, and I'm, like, sitting there with, like, AI glasses on, like, having a freaking virtual experience, like, for no reason.
But you know what? But like I said, I do like the idea of a big, wide arch and having a baseball field under it, because then, like, you would have open air on the ends where you could have, like, people in the sun if they wanted to be there, but then indoors would be in the shade.
Just get one of those. Remember those videos for, like, the thing you could put on your back patio and you just, like, roll the roll away. What is it called? The awning. You know, you get the awning.
And you could buy special tickets where you get in 4 hours early. You're just, like, cranking that thing.
Your own awning. Yeah,
it takes. They sell 50 tickets. They sell 50 early access tickets because it takes 50 people to take their turn to get that thing all the way out. I'm with you.
Oh yeah, there we go. Robert Sanchez has it. Sunsetter awnings. Remember that thing? The sunsetter. That's what you need. And it's got the freaking branding right in it.
Yeah,
it's Sunsetter Stadium.
And
by Sunsetter, I'm sure they got the money.
And the A's will no longer be the Athletics; they'll be the awnings.
Exactly.
The Sunsetter awnings will be the actual name. The Las Vegas
awnings.
Oh,
of Anaheim somehow.
Sadly, the Las Vegas SS awnings.
No, you can't.
Don't want to go there.
So. Any other TFCs? I had one more.
Nope, that was my only one.
They're doing a Cody Bellinger bobblehead.
I saw. Yeah, it's in September. It's the end of the year now. September.
It is. It's not like the one that's happening during Ranter Fest, which, you know, we're going to see the Christopher Morel stripping bobblehead. But there's a Cody Bellinger bobblehead. They couldn't announce it before because Cody Bellinger wasn't a Cub again yet. But look.
I want to turn it into a bong.
I bet you could. Could you? A bobble bong?
Have you ever met a stoner? Yes. They can turn it into a bong. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
They can turn it into a bong.
You got a piece of fruit? No problem.
They'll name it.
That's the greatest engineers on the planet.
Yep, exactly. That's Cody Bonginger over there in the corner.
Let's see. What else we got?
I have this. This is from Evan Altman, friend of the pod. He says, I forgot how much ad space Prevagen purchases on Marquee.
Nice.
This is such a great meta thing to say.
That is very funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Prevagen is a memory loss drug, people.
Yeah, and what's the cookie company? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pepperidge Farm remembers the Prevagen commercials.
So, I know. We need to give away the Patreon prize of the month.
Oh, and then we got to do a chance. And then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go over to the Discord and hang out.
Yeah, and then if you're part of the crew, you can come talk to us if you'd like.
So, why don't we... All right, here we go. Boom. All right, these are all the people that support us on Patreon and have paid memberships. And I must be clear about this because some of y'all are quote-unquote members, but you didn't pay because your credit card expired or whatever happened. So these are the people that have actually paid to be in this contest tonight. And here we go.
Yeah, we don't have enough clout to charge old credit cards.
Yeah, we're not like... what's that called? David Elliott, congratulations. I was trying to think of what's the not Babbel. What's the thing that keeps charging my account and I can't get rid of it?
MLB.com?
No, yeah, that one.
MLBTV.com? Like, good God.
You can put your face on like people that dance around. Jib Jab.
Oh, Jib Jab.
I cannot get rid of my Jib Jab account. Like, no matter what happens, I'm just Jib Jabbing up. And it's like $20 a year right around Valentine's where I think I made it.
You know what? You need to give me the access to the Jib Jab and I'll just, that'll be part of the Cubsler. I'll do a Jib Jab.
So, but congratulations, David Elliott.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I was trying to think of the word Jib Jab during your big win. So, and then we also are giving away the chance. A lot of giveaways tonight. So, but you guys deserve it. You do. Okay, I need to present my screen here. Here we go. We're giving away a chance postcard, message of love and doom, going the way of somebody. Here we go. It's going around. And Anthony Huffles is the winner.
Hey, yay! Congratulations, Anthony Huffles.
Anthony lives down in Texas, a Texan ranter. Hopefully he will be up for Ranter Fest, and hopefully you guys will all be coming.
And maybe I'm mistaken, but I think Anthony Huffles does some writing about Cubs at different times, blogs and different things. Yeah. I believe I've seen his name out there, but maybe I'm mistaken about that, but
I don't know. Yeah. So thanks for tuning in. Thank you to all our super ranters, all the Patreon supporters. We'll see you over on Discord. Thank you to Bleacher Bunch Productions, Fans First Network, who puts out our podcast. So please leave us a 5-star review over there. Also to Matt Kammerer and his permanent paintings and In the Clutch shirts, a shirt was just won by David Elliott. Congratulations. And also to Rogue Wave Creative, Mike Waller and the Cubs PS Plus. Plus podcast and Blake Beard's tickets. Find us all over the place. Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok.
What's an X?
Sun Ranto Show.
Nobody knows.
Follow us on X.
I love David Elliott's comment here. Says, Jib Jab? Danny is 15 years behind the rest of the internet.
No, that's my point. I've been had it for 15 years. He's not ahead of the goddamn Jib Jab.
He was ahead of the internet. But he can't stop the charges.
Can't stop the charges. Just like, but you know, and Patreon can't figure it out when you switch credit cards. So anyhow, we'll see you over at Discord. Thanks for all hanging out. Hope you had a good time. I certainly freaking did. So I didn't come here for a haircut, and hopefully you didn't either. But
ooh, as we haven't heard this one in a while. I like it.
Yeah, as David Kaplan would
Spookog or go Cubs backwards.
Love it. Spookog!
Spookog!
Spookog.
long lackey and I pitch for the Cubbies. And I didn't come here for a haircut, I came for jewelry. And every night I dream about wearing camouflage and gold. When we win the World Series that crazy night in Chicago. Studded earrings emblazoned with a Cubby C. I'll get Ernie Banks in Boston gold and silver on my teeth. And I'll platinum plate my cowboy boots so that everyone can see that I didn't come here for a haircut, I came for jewelry. No, I didn't come here for a haircut, I came for jewelry. I'm here to be a champion and win the World Series. So don't worry about my hairdo, it looks just fine to me. 'Cause I didn't come here for a haircut, I came for jewelry. Medallion of good old Harry Carey. Shiny red blue bracelet made of sapphires and rubies. But the ring upon my finger, it glitters and it gleams. It says Cubs World Series champions of 2016.